Our scripture reading this morning is found in Psalm 119. We'll begin reading at verse 49 and read through that seventh section and into the eighth section, all the way through verse 64. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. So I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider is the 57th verse, and that really summarizes that whole eighth section of the psalm. So we'll be referring to that whole section. Verse 57, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, how critical that in all of our pilgrimage we have a proper perspective on life. Children, maybe you can imagine yourselves in the midst of a wilderness. Imagine being in the middle of nowhere, not knowing where you are or where you are going. That might be a very frightful occasion. Unless you know that your mom and dad are right there with you, and that they know where they are, and they know where you are going. All by yourself it gives a different perspective. But when you know that someone is with you, that changes everything. And so too in the pilgrimage that we are making through the wilderness of this world, how important that we have a proper perspective. How important that we see all of life, not just on the horizontal plane, not just in relation to the circumstances around us and the people around us, but on the vertical, we see all of life in connection with our relationship to God, who knows where we are, where He is taking us. The psalmist has that perspective. And he expresses that perspective in his confession to God when he says, "Thou art my portion." That colors the whole of his life. And when he makes that confession, by implication, he calls us to make that same confession. Thou art my portion. We might get the impression when you read through Psalm 119 that it's a great psalm that's a lecture about God's law. It mentions God's law in almost every single verse in different words. But that's not Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is not a lecture about God's law. It's not even a lecture about God. But it's the psalmist letting us listen in to his personal prayer to God as he makes his pilgrimage. Through the wilderness of this world, he prays to God. And now he lets us listen in. In the midst of affliction, he prays to God. And we get to see how he interacts with that affliction, how he interacts with his pilgrimage and the circumstances that he faces, and how he calls upon God through all of those things. We get to hear the psalmist not only talk about God and about the law, but he speaks to God, and he speaks to God about his delight in that law that God gives him. And in the midst of his pilgrimage, then, he says to God, "Thou art my portion." So that's what we take as our theme this morning. Jehovah, my portion. Let's note in the first place the meaning of that confession. Secondly, the commitment that flows out of that confession. And lastly, the prayer that also flows out of that same confession. Thou art my portion, O Lord. That's the starting point for all of our pilgrimage, beloved. That truth that Jehovah is our portion. The psalmist in this section puts that word portion at the very beginning of the section. The very first word of the very first verse of this whole section, verses 57 through 64, he makes that the first word. So literally we could translate, "Portion mine, Jehovah." And so he places that as the emphasis. What is a portion? When the psalmist speaks of a portion, and often you find this in Scripture, portion is connected to the inheritance. So when an Israelite talked about a portion, he understood the inheritance that God had given. The portion is that which has been apportioned to us. The portion was that which was most valuable. If you had to give up everything else, you would say, "But I will keep my portion. This is my chief delight. This is the most important thing in my life. Give away everything else if I have to, but I must retain my portion." What is your portion, beloved? What is my portion in this life? What above all things is most precious to you? What is it that you think about over and over again and say, "This is my portion"? The wicked desire all kinds of things in the world. Their most precious possessions, all kinds of idols, their houses, their cars, their investments, their influence, their careers, their pleasure, eating and drinking and making merry. All those things they count as their portion. That's where they look for their happiness. And they hate God's law. They want nothing to do with the God of Scripture because it does not match up with their portion. But by God's grace, Jehovah has made himself to be our portion. He has given his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to give himself a perfect sacrifice on the cross, and so through that sacrifice and through his Holy Spirit applying that sacrifice to us, God has made himself to be our portion. That's God's work. It's not that we went out and made God to be our portion by our work, but he has apportioned himself to be our God. We heard that in the law this morning. God has made himself to be our God and made us to be his people. And that's why the psalmist in this section praises God for his mercy. He says at the end of this section, "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy." God in his mercy sees us in misery, and he delivers us from that misery and gives to us the greatest good, which is Jehovah himself. He makes himself to be our portion. And then the psalmist sees that, and he says, "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy." Well, when we think about Jehovah being our portion, then we think of the great I Am. Jehovah, his name, points to the fact that he is absolutely independent from the creation. He is far above the creation. He's the one that brought creation into being. And therefore, he does not need any of the creatures, but the creature needs him to sustain us and give us all that we need. Jehovah, the great I Am, the creator of the heavens and the earth, has made himself to be our portion, brought us into covenant fellowship with himself, we who are mere creatures of the dust, and sinners at that, rebels against him. Jehovah is our portion. Jehovah who keeps mercy for thousands of generations to them that love him and keep his commandments, which he himself works in us by his mercy. How precious is that mercy that delivers us from our misery and brings us into that fellowship with himself. And although we continue to be plagued by sin, although we are dragged again and again to wallow, as it were, in the mire, to look to the idols of this world, because our old man of sin yet clings to us, yet the truth remains, Jehovah is our portion. He above all things is most precious. And we learn that more and more, do we not, beloved, as we grow older? We find out the things of this world don't satisfy. But Jehovah is my portion. We are his people, and he is our God. And that means we are of his party. We have been brought into his fellowship. And when that's true, that he is our portion, that is going to color every square inch of our lives. Not just on Sunday, but the fact that he is our portion is going to color every square inch. It's going to affect who we have as our friends. We find that in this section of the psalm. When he makes this confession, Jehovah is my portion, it makes sense that then he will want to be with others who make the same confession. And so he says in verse 63 of this section, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. I am a companion. I am closely united together. I am bound together with others who also fear Jehovah, who have a reverence and awe of Jehovah. I want to be with them. I want to gather together with them to worship my faithful covenant God. I am a companion of all them that fear thee. That's going to manifest itself. When Jehovah is our portion, when we find that Jehovah is most precious, well, that makes sense. I want to be with others who have that same perspective on life, who will encourage me in that same perspective. How wonderful to see that companionship in our worship this morning. We gather together. We don't want to stay in our houses. We want to gather with God's people who are our companions. And when we are married, we want to be companions of those. Of course we do. We want to be companions of those who have the same God and who believe the same things as us. We want to be joined together with those who are heirs of that same salvation that God has given to us. What a wonderful thing when we see that companionship in the church, in our marriages. But that's going to affect all of our friendships, all of our relationships. We want to be children and young people. If Jehovah is your companion, you will want to be with others. If Jehovah is your portion, rather, you will want to be with others, companions of others who have that same confession. What a wonderful thing when all of our relationships reflect that Jehovah is our portion. And on the other hand, when Jehovah is our portion, when we say with the psalmist, "Oh, how love I thy law," we won't want to be with others who say, "Oh, how hate I that law of Jehovah. If that's the God of the Bible, I want nothing to do with him." We don't want to be companions with them. Just the opposite. The psalmist in the same psalm, verse 115, a different section of the psalm, but he expresses that. He says, "Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." Because Jehovah is most precious to me. I want to show my thankfulness to Jehovah. I want to keep his law. I don't want to be with those who are going to draw me away. Does the fact that Jehovah is your portion, beloved, does that show itself in your life? Does it show itself in my life? How I live my life, who I have as my companions? Does it show itself, young people, in who you choose as your friends? And does it show itself in what we watch on the television or what kind of music we listen to on the radio? Does it manifest itself in our lives? It did in the psalmists. And you see that especially in his commitment to keep God's words. When you and I have Jehovah as our portion, we also will have a commitment to keep God's words. And it's striking that the psalmist, as soon as he expresses that confession, "Thou art my portion, O Lord," in the very same breath, he says, "I have said that I would keep thy words." I have said. He is relating his promise. When he says, "I have said I would keep thy words," he's saying, "I have promised that I would keep thy words when a young person makes confession of faith, essentially that's one thing that they say in their confession. They promise that they would keep God's words. Children, you know what it means to keep? You keep a promise, or a shepherd keeps his sheep. To keep God's words means to exercise great care over those words, to pay attention to them, to hold them dear. The psalmist says, I have said, I would keep thy words. He wants to give careful attention, to exercise great care over everything that God has said. God's words, he uses words in the plural form, not just one word, but he wants to keep all of God's words, everything that God has said. And what is the central message of all of God's words that we read in Scripture? The word of the gospel, the promise of salvation in Jesus Christ. When we think on these words of promise, then we will be like the psalmist in this psalm as well. Verse 103, he says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You see, the psalmist wants to give careful attention to God's words that reveal to us his love to us. Those words that express God's everlasting love towards us and towards all of his people. I have said, I will keep thy words. I want to study those words. I want to meditate upon those words of God's love to me. And then on the other hand, he wants to meditate upon those words of God that show us the way to express our love to him. How do I show my love to a God who has loved me? And that's through the law. I have said, I would keep thy words. I want to study thy law. I want to keep that law. That's not a burden to the psalmist. He doesn't say, don't tell me about what I need to do. He says, I want to keep thy words. This would be a good exercise to go through the whole of Psalm 119 and find out how many times the psalmist expresses his delight in the law of God. I give just a couple examples. Verse 97, he says, oh, how love I thy law. Verse 174, he says, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. The psalmist is committed to keeping God's words, the words that express his love to us and the words by which we express our love to him. Of course we want to keep those words. Jehovah's my portion. Well, when you and I have that delight and commitment that goes with Jehovah being our portion, that's going to manifest itself in a life of repentance, a life in which we are constantly turning from sin and back towards God. You find that expressed in this section, verse 59. The psalmist says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. You see what the psalmist does? He's thinking on his ways. He's thinking on that pathway that he travels. He's examining his life. And he sees that he has failed in so many respects. I thought on my ways. I should have been walking that way. But I have failed. I have wandered. And so he turns his feet by God's grace. Turns his feet unto God's testimonies. Turns away from that way of disobedience and back into the way of obedience. Repentance. Why would you and I ever want to do that? Why would we ever want to leave the path of disobedience, leave the path of selfishness, and turn back into the way of obedience? By nature, we never would want to do that. By nature, we would only want to walk in the way that serves ourselves and serves our own pleasures and lusts. Only because God has made himself our portion. That's the only explanation why from the heart I would want to turn out of the path of disobedience, having examined my ways, to turn back then to the way of obedience, the way of God's testimonies. When Jehovah is our portion, we will think on our ways and daily turn back to God in repentance. Indeed, when Jehovah is our delight, the more that he is our delight, the more we love him, the more immediate will be our obedience, the less we will hesitate. You see, our love for God is expressed by our immediate obedience. That's the way it is in our families too. Children, if your parents tell you, could you wash the dishes tonight, and then you walk away, and you don't do it, and you don't do it, and you don't do it, then they have to remind you again, and then you still don't do it. That shows a lack of love, doesn't it? Immediate obedience is a certain measure, generally speaking, of our love. And so it is with God. When he calls us to walk a certain way, when Jehovah is our portion, the more we delight in Jehovah, our portion, the more immediate we will want our obedience to be. And so the psalmist says in this section, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. I made haste. I hurried. I wanted to go that way. Verse 60. And our commitment to love God will also be expressed in our steadfastness when temptation expresses itself. When temptation comes our way, you find the psalmist in verse 61. He talks about the bands of wicked. He says, the bands of wicked have robbed me. And literally the idea is, the bands of wicked have surrounded me. And their thought, the thought of the wicked, was to rob him of his faith, to tempt him to leave the path of obedience. What does the psalmist do when the wicked surround him? The bands of the wicked have robbed me, he says, but I have not forgotten thy law. He doesn't want to turn aside into the path of disobedience. He wants to continue in the path of obedience. I have not forgotten thy law. He wants to be steadfast. Does the fact that Jehovah is your portion, does the fact that Jehovah is my portion, does that show itself in my life? Are you and I committed to keep God's words? And are we committed to a life of repentance and steadfast obedience? Then we will be those who pray, because we cannot do it in our own strength, beloved. The truth that Jehovah is our portion and our chief delight will show itself not only in the fact that we pray, but it will show itself in the things that we pray, what we pray for, what we include in our prayers. We find that in this section, and we could summarize, we're only going to look at a few elements of the psalmist's prayer in the psalm. Perhaps you've heard that acronym before, ACTS, Acts, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. The psalmist, in his prayer, and you can find it throughout the psalm, this beautiful prayer, he expresses adoration to God. The very confession at the beginning of this section, "Thou art my portion," is a word in which he expresses his adoration of God. He adores God, who is his portion. And when God makes himself our portion, then we cannot help but want to praise him. The same section when he says, "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy." What an amazing God we have who shows mercy. Those are words of praise. And it's not surprising. Here's another thing. If we read through the psalm, how many times he gives praise to God in different ways. Adoration. Verse 7, "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart." Verse 12, "Blessed art thou, O Lord." Verse 146, "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." Verse 171, "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes." Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Verse 175. The psalm is full of adoration. The reason that God, or that Jesus teaches in that model prayer to begin our prayer, hallowed be thy name. Not only will we adore God in our prayers, we will also confess our sins and neediness. And although this section of the psalm does not major on that thought, it is nevertheless implied when in verse 59 he says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. He sees that he fell short. He sees the sins and the sinfulness that plague him. And so he wants to turn to the way of God's testimonies. And throughout the psalm, he points to this in one way or another. Verse 9, he says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Because he sees as a young person how impossible without the grace of God to cleanse his way. He expresses his neediness. Or the very end of the psalm, he confesses, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Expresses his sins and his neediness. How good for us in our prayers to express our sins and our neediness. I cannot walk in obedience in my own strength. Adoration, confession, but also thanksgiving. The psalmist shows us that in verse 62 of our section. He says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. He sees God's righteous judgments, not just that God will judge the wicked, but the psalmist knows that in the way of judgment, God brings salvation to his people. And so he rises at midnight to give thanks. Why at midnight? Why does he rise at midnight? Well, he doesn't tell us, but maybe because those thoughts of thankfulness are swirling around in his head, and he just refuses to turn over and go back to sleep. He wants to rise and give thanks to God. Or he doesn't want to be distracted by others, so he rises at midnight and with sincere prayers expresses his thanks to God for all that he has done. I will rise at midnight to give thanks unto thee. When Jehovah is our portion, we will express our thankfulness to him for all that he has done for unworthy sinners, unworthy sinners such as we are. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and lastly, supplication. Over and over, throughout the psalm, he supplicates, he asks God for grace and for mercy. Without that grace and that mercy in the first place, Jehovah would never be our portion. But you understand, the psalmist, who has Jehovah as his portion, he doesn't think to himself, well, God gave me grace and God gave me mercy, and now the rest of my life, the rest of my pilgrimage, I can walk this way in my own strength. Not at all. But having received God's grace and having received God's mercy, he prays that God would give him grace and mercy every day. He supplicates. So we find in this section, verse 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. I prayed to God, I made supplication that God would show me his favor. God would show me grace. And then in the same verse, we find that parallel statement. Those parallel statements often we find in Hebrew poetry. He says, be merciful unto me according to thy word. Grant thy grace. Be merciful, not because I am worthy, not because I'm good enough. What does he say? Be merciful unto me according to thy word. According to thy word of promise, according to thy promise, which is yea and amen in Jesus Christ. For Christ's sake, be merciful to me. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. All these we include in our prayers because Jehovah has made himself our portion. By God's grace, he works in us so that we see it, that he is truly our portion. He works in us so that we believe it. Sometimes chastises us, pries our fingers off of the things of this world, and helps us recognize not the things of this world, but Jehovah is my portion. We believe it, and then we say at the same time, Lord, help thou my unbelief. In every circumstance, more and more, we see that he alone, above all things, is most precious. He alone is our portion and chief delight. In the wilderness of this world, we are not alone. But Jehovah, who is our portion, holds us by our hand. He knows where we are, and he knows where we are going, and he leads us there. May our confession be that together with the psalmist, may it be the same as what the psalmist confesses in our text. Thou art my portion, O Lord. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we give thee thanks that thou hast made thyself to be our portion. In all of life, we confess we do have but a small beginning, and yet thou dost show to us that thou art our portion for Christ's sake. Thou dost show to us that thou art above all things most precious. We pray that thou continue to open our eyes to see that thou art our portion. Forgive us where we have fallen short. Continue, we pray, to lead and guide us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.